Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Time for Health show with me, Lewis Pearce, and my lovely as ever co-host, Matthew Long. How are you, Matt? You all right?
I am great, thank you. Nice to be here again.
Yeah, it's always good. And today we've got another incredible guest expert in the hot seat, Tristan Lee. Welcome to the show.
It is a total pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So Tristan, let's get straight into it. No hanging about. I'm sure you've got a lot of value that you want to share with the audience, and I'm looking forward to learning one or two things from you. So without further ado, tell us who you are, what you do, why you do it, and then we'll take things from there.
Sure. Okay. Well, my name is Tristan, and I am known as the Gorgeousness Coach, which is a fun way of saying that I am a health and wellness life coach. Now, that's quite a mouthful. So sometimes I just say the Gorgeousness Coach. And people say, well, what on earth is a Gorgeousness Coach? And then I explain what it is. So I help people with all aspects of their health and wellness. So, you know, the word gorgeousness is a kind of a fun way into a conversation for people who sometimes find conversations about health and wellness challenging. So I try and add humor and a lightness of touch to my work where appropriate. So, you know, I work with people one-to-one. I have clients and I coach them with all sorts of different things, from weight loss to self-esteem to basically anything to do with, you know, how they feel and how they look. But primarily I'm kind of a mindset coach. So I'm helping people really on the foundational self-core beliefs they have about their value. And that translates into their actions, and their actions translate into their behavior. So I can elaborate as we go along. But I kind of help people to look and feel their best, both inside and out.
Awesome. Yeah. The whole inside thing is so important. I think that's one of the main reasons why people struggle to lose weight, is because they aren't actually addressing the underlying problem, which is their beliefs, their thought patterns, cognitive habits, all those sorts of things. And once you actually address those, I think losing weight and improving your health is generally a side effect of you just learning to love yourself a little bit better.
I totally agree. And I think most people don't know that. And I don't blame people for not knowing that, because most, I think, especially the people that I work with, what they tell me is, you know, based on what they see and hear in the media and magazines, it's all about the behavior. Eat this, don't eat this. Move like this, don't move like that. And I'm like, well, that is cause and effect, isn't it? You know, that behavior comes from somewhere. So I'm fascinated why certain people do certain things and certain people don't do certain things. It's not just about the behavior. It's where that behavior comes from. And I think we can address that in quite a simple way. I'm not a trained therapist, although I do use therapeutic practices in my work. Underlying my principle when I work with people ultimately is that people are born valuable. And if you know you're valuable, which is more of a, it's not always a feeling, it's more of a deeper knowledge of your own value, you then can start to choose healthy behaviors which create the results you want.
Yeah, definitely. It comes down to that, isn't it? Those fundamental core behaviors that build a solid foundation that you can then go down whichever avenue you choose, whether it's more of a fitness orientated or weight loss or just personal development as a whole, or just living a more holistic lifestyle, isn't it?
Completely. And I think everything I do in my own life and share with other people is based on, you know, a sense of your own value. And then you can choose everything comes from that place. Everything starts with a thought. And that dictates everything we do, whether it's business or relationships, health, weight loss, as you say, it covers everything. So I think if we can get the foundation right, then, you know, what we want to do flows a lot easier. It's not always straightforward to create the change you want, because it does take time, but foundational is the idea you have of yourself and where that comes from. And if it's not serving you, how to over time change that.
Yeah, definitely. A changing your perspective on health, isn't it? Which most people who struggle to lose weight, their kind of perspective is that I want results and I want them now. I want to weigh this much amount and I'll do anything to achieve that. And they kind of miss the bigger picture, which is like the 95% rest of it, which is, like you've said, it's your lifestyle. It's how you feel about yourself.
And I don't blame people for that because no one's talking about that. Mm. It's very rare for people to say, well, you know, okay, so here you want to lose some weight or you want to create a different body type. Most people are just, okay, well, that's about behaviors. Okay, what do I need to do? Whereas I'm saying, and obviously you obviously fall into the same kind of mindset, is, well, what's going on? These are all symptoms of usually a mindset that is conditioned in childhood or influenced by, you know, people nearest and dearest to us when we're growing up or even in our current environment. So helping people to step out of their normal thinking patterns and say, well, I wonder where that comes from. I think we can do that in a kind of fun way sometimes, because I know from my own experience, people will generally adopt a new point of view if it's not rammed down their throat.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be lectured, another expert telling you what to do. I'm not telling anybody to do.
Do you find, Tristan, that when people are struggling with weight loss or weight reduction or whatever you want to call it, that they actually know what to do? They know what foods they should eat, shouldn't eat, but they're just not putting it into practice. And that's when the mindset comes. That's when the psychology needs to become into play.
I think so. I think
the reason why they're not doing it.
Yeah. I think what most people need is some support, some guidance, some structure, some encouragement.
Being held accountable.
And accountability, absolutely. Mm. Most people just have no plan. I often say to clients, you know, it's not that you're not capable, it's that you don't really know what you want. Mm. So most people are like, oh, I just want to get a bit healthier, or I want to lose a bit of weight. Well, you know, if you understand how the subconscious mind works, or the power of intention, you've got to give, or how the brain works, you've got to give it something that has a bit more clarity. So I help people get some clarity, and once they're clear about what they want, give them the tools, which is basically a lot of that is mindset as opposed to knowledge of, I think most people have an idea, well, you want to eat real food, that's my kind of healthy eating principle, and I give people recipes and stuff, but yeah, you're absolutely right. I think most people kind of know what to do, but they don't know how to apply it. They don't have structure, support, accountability. But I also think, as I said before, what people really need is a bit of love. It's quite hard. It's quite hard to make changes by yourself. And then people beat themselves up because they can't do it. We're not meant to do everything by ourselves. By all means, take responsibility. But I think taking responsibility means sometimes get someone to help you who's good at it. You know, if you can't clean your own car, get someone else to clean it. If you haven't got time to clean your own car, get someone else to help you. People work well when they do things together. And I think people are just a bit left to their own devices and don't know their proverbial bottom from their proverbial elbow.
Yeah. So those of you that are watching on YouTube or Facebook, you can see the video. So Tristan, tell the people watching how old you are.
So it's a big landmark year for me next year. So I'm turning 50 next year. And I'm like, do I have a birthday party? Are we still going to be in some sort of social isolation nightmare? But I'm hoping by next June, I'm like, we'll do something. There's going to be a theme. I'm not sure what the theme is. Something fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, I want to get an invite.
Pretty fun. Yeah, you're there.
I want to make sure this isn't some kind of video trickery and you're actually looking as young as you do.
No, it's just incredible skincare and wonderful lighting. But
we mentioned this before we came on air. You like to help people knock 10 years off their life.
Rage.
Off their look.
Off their life.
Off their life. Let's get that wrong.
Yeah, come to me and I will make you die 10 years.
You look 10 years younger. Give me the quote that you say then. Come on, I got it completely wrong.
I will. Yeah, I help people.
I'm just bamboozled.
I help people look and feel 10 years younger. Yeah.
So, come on, how are you going to help me look 10 years younger?
Okay, well, you'd look about 12 then.
That's fine. I'm happy with that. I like you already.
So here's what I start with. Now, it's easy to say when you look. I do look young. It's genetic. Part of that is genetic. I mean, my mum looks young for her age. I do take
those who aren't watching and are listening on the podcast, when I saw Tristan for the first time when we came on Zoom, I thought, who is this kid? He looks like he's in his late teens. And I'm just going to put that in perspective. So those people don't actually see this and can't see it. Now, I think I look my age. I'm 52. Tristan, you're only 2 years younger than me. You look like you're 30 years younger than me. So, sorry, I interrupted that because I was just worried that the people who aren't watching and can only listen need to have this visualization of a teenage boy in their head. Well, that's not going too far. That was my first impression when I saw you.
Well, I'm 30. You know,
What happened was, for so many years, it was just like a silly thing that people would be like, oh, who do you think Tristan is? And they'd kind of push me forward and it's like some sort of circus freak show. And I just thought it was kind of funny. I didn't take it too seriously. Yeah, it got me a bit of attention because it's kind of a nice thing, you know. I didn't take it too seriously. But actually, I realized, well, I actually do things. Now, it's easy for me to say because I do look young, but I think if we're talking about... I'm talking more about youthfulness as opposed to just looking young, because I'm not, you know, you can look young but have a very old personality, as in, I'm not saying anything wrong with being old. I'm just saying maybe what I'm more interested in is helping people cultivate or maintain their sense of playfulness, optimism, joy, purpose, mischievousness, open-mindedness. Which people, when people talk about aging, they're normally talking about the physical. And I'm really into the physical. So I do eating. I'll get to those points. I eat incredibly well. I have a very healthy diet. I sleep. I take really good care of my skin. So I'm really into all of that. And I like to take care of myself. I like to present myself in a certain way. However, if I was to give it ratios or percentages, for me, youthfulness or how I look is 70% inside. Mm-hmm. So I work at staying youthful in my personality. So I am playful because when people meet me, they go, okay, you look young, but you act young. And I hope that doesn't mean that people think I'm an absolute idiot. But I do have a playful personality and I work at it because, you know, what happens in life, you get old. I've had my fair share of challenges and emotional trauma. The tendency is, as we get older, is to lose a bit of our sparkle.
I think we forget how to have fun.
We do. And I have to remind myself, you know, and I do. One of the things I do every day is do something that makes me laugh, you know, and whether it's comedy stuff, but I do that kind of stuff. I work at staying open-hearted and playful and optimistic. And God knows it's hard to do because you get to a certain age and you're like, well, is this all there is? Is this as far as I've come? And I tell myself every day, life is getting better as I get older. And I'm a big believer in you create your own reality through what you think and what you say. So yes, there are practical things. I do take care of my skin. I take really good care of my skin. I've always been obsessed with skincare. So I recommend people look after their skin, use a product or two on your skin. I recommend people eat real food. You know, I do keep my refined sugar to a minimum. I don't eat meat or dairy, but I don't say that a vegan diet is what everyone has to do. But I do eat not many processed foods. I keep my refined sugar to a minimum. I eat a lot of fresh fruit and vegetables, drink a lot of water. You know, some basic stuff. But for me, it's hopefully my attitude that keeps me young. Mm. And it shows up on your face.
Yeah.
So I try and keep myself from not becoming horrifically bitter as I get older, which is quite tempting to do. You're like, oh, life sucks. Mm. And you know, if you suck on a lemon, it shows up on your face.
Yeah.
I like that one.
You know, so you know, you see older people that are scowling and they just look, you know, you could literally add them to a gin and tonic. They're that bitter.
Mm. Yeah.
I was going that way. I'm telling you now. I was going, oh, life isn't fair. It's all over. And then I've had to kind of like, okay, well, I need to move away from negativity slowly and move towards some degree of, you know, life is what you make it. So I do have to work at that. So I'm really into personal development. I listen to inspiring things. I try and laugh a lot. I try and be playful. Now that, you know, that I wrote a book on the subject, which is called Munch, Move, Moisturize. How to Age Gorgeously in Your 30s, 40s, 50s and Beyond, which is basically saying, you know, aging is, yes, it's what you eat, it's how you move, it's your flexibility, it's your skin, but it's also your attitude, your personality, your mental health. So I'm kind of looking at the big picture here, which is everything we do or don't do. So when I work with people, people don't come to me to look younger. People come to me because they want to feel better.
Yeah.
And they want to start believing in themselves again. Because, you know, most people, when they get to 40 or 50, they've had a divorce or they've had a bereavement, all five. They've had a financial crisis. Ow, click my finger then. They've had some challenges. And that can really, it can really start to mess with your sense of joy.
I think a lot of it is the societal norms of you hit an age bracket and you're supposed to behave a certain way. You know, you reach 20, you're an adult, you're supposed to start, you know, saving up for a house or whatever. You turn 30, you're supposed to be married with kids by the time you're 30. You turn 40, you're supposed to have a midlife crisis and a mental breakdown. You turn to 50, you're supposed to hate the world. And people kind of subconsciously, I think, just fit the bill because they think...
I completely understand. It's so interesting because I have people, my friends my age, and they're like, oh God, well, you know, that's what happens when you're almost 50, you get a beer belly. Oh, that's what happens when you're almost 50, you know, you get arthritis and you put on weight. And if we're all saying, oh, well, that's what happens when you get to 50, that will become what your reality is. So my top tip would be, you know, listen to what you're saying to yourself. Listen to what other people are saying. Because I have people in my life, and not so much as I used to, that were saying, oh, well, you're 50. It's all downhill health-wise or wealth-wise or any-wise. And I'm saying, nah, I'm not buying into it. I am not buying into that. Now, we are all getting older, but how we age. So I'm interested in aging well. Mm-hmm. Aging. I'm not anti. Why would I be anti-aging? It's like saying you're anti-gravity. You can't fight aging. I'm not fighting anything. I am making the most and helping people make the most of their health and wellness so they can enjoy a really well and youthful in attitude older age.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, in my job, I'm always helping people sometimes get moving because I'm, you know, helping people through rehab or whatever, through physical rehabilitation. But then on the hypnotherapy side, helping people psychologically get over things that they've just ended up thinking about because that's what they expect to be told to be thinking about or whatever, you know what I mean? That's the social norm. That's what's expected of them. That's what they anticipate is going to happen to them. And doesn't have to be that way. You don't have to think like that.
Yeah, and I think one of the biggest lessons I've learned, and it's really not easy to do, but I'm working on it, and I help other clients to work on it, is, you know what, I will attach the meaning to anything in any way that I choose to. So I had a very difficult mental health challenge about 10 years ago, which involved a lot of therapy and a stay in a rehabilitation center for anxiety and depression, a very dark time. And I did have a choice what meaning I could attach to that. And of course, every fiber of my being was like, that means you're a loser, or that means it's all over. And I was like, maybe it's a ginger thing. But I was like, I think I'm going to go the other way. I'm like, it means this is a fresh start. Now, that was not easy. But I was like, okay, I will learn from this. And this will be the making of me. So because that was my intention, over a long period of time, I was like, this is not the end of me. This is going to make me. And I know that's not easy, and it can sound simplistic, but as you say, we have a choice about the meaning. You know, yesterday I made a really nice green smoothie in a lovely glass because I'm into green smoothies, and literally like that, had it in my hand and then dropped it on the floor. It went everywhere, green sludge all the way up my white walls. And I was like, I just stood there thinking, okay, I do have a choice here. I was like, I'm not going to get upset about this. I still got to clear it up. I was like, it means I am meant not to have that green smoothie. I am meant to have something else instead. I still got to clear it up. I was not crossed by it, which is quite amazing. So I was like, I'm not going to make it mean something. if it makes me feel miserable, you know, one of the things I learned years ago was...
We have a choice. If
I do have a choice. If I keep thinking something that makes me miserable, don't think it.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, well, wow.
We have a choice on how we feel and how we think, don't we? And when life throws you lemons, you don't have to eat them.
You
know?
Yeah.
You can pick them up and make lemonade.
I know we use those phrases, you know, and they can feel a bit bumper sticker-ish, you know, like, oh, well, you know, life gives you lemons, make lemonade. You know, what I want to do is unpack that. Well, okay, well, how do we do that?
Exactly, yeah.
Because otherwise it just becomes another Facebook post that is like another optimistic quote. Like, I'm tired of optimistic quotes. It's got to, what's the substance behind it? I do have a choice. We do have a choice. And we need to practice that, I think.
Mm.
And it does take time. When I've worked with people with anxiety and depression, it's reframing the reasons why, you know, they're saying, why I'm... Well, stop feeling like that then. You know? That's the simplistic thing. But, of course, that's not what I say to them.
Okay, good. So
I'm quite hardball when it comes to things like that. I don't mess about with it. But I reframe the questioning to them to say, you know, how would you like to feel? Well, I want to feel this way. So how would you be able to feel like that? What do you need to do to feel like that? Mm. And they know the answers. They're just not focused on the good thing.
Yeah. And people, because people need help to do that. Mm. Because the brain loves familiarity, even if that familiarity makes you unhappy. So no wonder people get stuck. Like, I know what to do and I'm not doing it, because the brain loves the known. And if we're saying we'll move into the unknown, people are like, well, that might make me happier, slimmer, wealthier, but it's not something I know. So we need to guide people into slowly moving into what they want as opposed to what they don't want. And that's, you know, it is a process, and you've got to be patient with people. We've got to nurture people. We have to nurture ourselves in order to nurture other people. But I don't expect my clients to just get it. It took me years and years and years and years and years to work it out myself. I do want to fast track that process for people. But if a thought isn't serving you, you can change that thought and guide people how to do that. But yeah, otherwise it just becomes like, okay, we'll just make lemons out of lemonade. No, make lemonade out of lemons. One of those.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these cliche things, like the power of positive thinking, quite a cliche term, quite a cliche quote. But there is so much power in positive thinking in your everyday life. If you look at something, you have a choice to either think negatively or positively about a situation.
Yeah. So here's what I think. I think those quotes are really useful, but they are like a suitcase.
Yeah.
You do need to unpack it.
Absolutely.
Because it means nothing. Oh, just think positively. Like, that can be a little bit dismissive.
Mm.
Occasionally, I'll just be no, don't think negatively. Like, actually, it might be useful to talk about what you're worried about and then give you something positive to work with. So for me, what I'm interested in is, like, let's just be real here. We don't need to be positive all the time, but we do need to kind of unpack some of our feelings and our reactions and go, I wonder where that comes from. I wonder whether that's serving us. What do you actually want? And help people to build themselves up, give people some tools. Otherwise, I think people are just left going, well, I know I could eat this and not do this, but I don't know how to do it. You've got to kind of show people and guide people. I suppose that's what I do. That's what you guys do. You've got to provide guidance and, as I said earlier, support, accountability, and all those other lovely things.
How to plan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a really, like, a basic planner. You know, I'm holding up a monthly printout. So I'm like basic. I don't do spreadsheets, but I do, you know, daily things, very simple daily things. And I give myself a gold star or a sticker which says you did well or improving in leaps and bounds, because I'm kind of that kind of level. Make it fun. Make it simple. Make it visual.
Yeah. And there's a lot of things in life that we don't like doing, like exercise. But when it becomes fun, we're more likely to do it.
Yeah. And most people's self-talk or in a script about exercises, I know I should do it, but I don't want to do it. Well, how about finding something you enjoy?
Exactly.
You know, so when I work with people, I say, let's talk about movement as opposed to exercise. Because exercise is something that is extra. Movement, hopefully, is something you do. You know, it's a bit like breathing. Everyone is moving. So let's see what movement we can introduce into your day that you might actually enjoy. It may not be the gym for you right now. At the moment, for people that some people don't want to go to the gym because of coronavirus. So find ways of moving that you enjoy, but realistically, you know, 20 minutes, three times a week, that's a good place to start. It's a lot better than nothing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that was one of the fundamentals of knocking years off of how you look and how you feel, is you just adopting a sustainable approach of healthy living, being more active, making better choices with your food, thinking. I would say, well, with the whole positive thinking, I'm completely on your level with that, Tristan, where you don't want to be with your head in the clouds. You want to kind of be firmly grounded, but looking, still having a relatively optimistic outlook on life.
I think I'm an optimistic cynic. You know, I'm not like away with the unicorns, not all the time anyway. I do think, you know, you can make some changes, but you don't have to be massive changes. You think you need a bit of guidance and structure to make those changes, but, you know, start with one thing. What I think most people do is they just try and take on too much. They're like, oh, I'm going to sort out my food, my fitness, my self-esteem, my house, my garage. I'm like, let's start with what would, if you were to pick one thing that would be you, something you really would benefit from if you explored, you know, most people I work with, it's food and fitness. And we move on to other things, but I'm like, okay, let's just get a couple of habits started. Let's get you walking for half an hour, three times a week, whatever it is, and feel good about what you're doing. Do that for a bit. We'll weave in some other things. Most people are just trying to take on too much. They're overwhelmed. Then they feel that they're inadequate. And then there's a cycle of like, I'm not doing enough. I'm not enough. And then people kind of get themselves in a right tiz.
And if you give them something too daunting, their subconscious part of their brain is just going to look at it and go, well, it's just going to find excuses not to do it. But if you give them a little bit to do here and a little bit to do there, something that's easily achievable that they can pat themselves on the back for. And I do this with kids who are doing revision when they're struggling to revise for exams because they think they need to do 3 or 4 hours of revision a night. And they don't start it because it's too big a task. So I say to them, right, just do 10 minutes. See how you get on. Quite often they'll come back to me and go, well, I did 45 minutes. Well, that's great. Don't feel guilty if you only do 10 minutes though. And they
I recommend the same stuff.
You know, they get into the habit of revising then, and, you know, just doing 10 minutes, but then they, before they know it, they've done an hour. And that's
I normally do something similar, but I say stop after 10 minutes. So I recommend to people, you know, I think either way works, but subconsciously, if you are saying I only need to do 10 minutes, but oh, I probably should do an hour, every time you do 10 minutes, you kind of, there's an expectation you should do an hour. So when I work with people, and again, I think both have merits, I say, listen, if you want to do some exercise, set your alarm for 10 minutes or 15 minutes. Here's a couple of videos I can recommend that you do, but stop after 10 minutes so that that is enough. That is enough, because consistency, as I always say to clients, consistency is the new intensity. Most people think they have to do a lot. And I'm like, I don't think you need to do a lot. I think we need to be consistent, because that's what creates a habit. And that's what leads to behavior change. It leads to a confidence, you know, your confidence increases and you do get the result. So we do need to delay the gratification. But again, having a simple plan, whether you've got, I tend to, you know, print out a week, if I've got a particular goal, whether it's exercise or food, I actually have one about, you know, I'm reading 10, I do 10 minutes of personal development before 10 a.m. So I read something inspiring for 10 minutes. I set my alarm for 10 minutes. I put a little gold star and a sticker, bish bosh, I'm done. So actually doing less and saying, I'm literally going to stop doing, the alarm goes off. You've done it. Tick the box. You don't need to do more than that. You can if you want, but set the expectation a bit lower. Yeah. 10 minutes is absolutely great. You can do that, and you could repeat that. And having something visual that you can use, as people love a chart, and I love it. I love a chart. I love nothing. I love more. Like, my idea of heaven would be just like some sort of trolley grab in a sticker factory. Oh my god, that'd be the best thing ever. Just give me that. I love it.
Yeah, and it is. It's just giving people achievable goals, isn't it?
And yeah, I think feel good about yourself. God, yeah. It's so easy not to. I'm just like, I just let's set the bar really low. Like, you woke up, you blinked your eyes twice, give yourself a gold star. People only feel they can give themselves credit for doing big things. I did my 10 minutes a day before 10 a.m. because I'm working on that at the moment. And I'm just giving myself gold stars left, right, and center. Like, well done, me. I blinked. Well done. You know, feel good about yourself. Because we start, for me, I want people almost like, you know, like you get marbles and you just like, just put one marble from one jar to another. Start collecting little successes. Start feeling good about yourself. Doesn't really matter for what, but start to feel good about yourself for taking some action.
The chemical process of that in the brain is quite phenomenal as well. That endorphins, dopamines, the serotonin, from giving yourself a little pat on the back and feeling like you've achieved something, that you've done something for yourself, it's worth its weight in gold.
Mm-hmm. You know, completely.
Overall, I think, mental well-being.
Definitely. And I always say, listen, you know, we need to build. We are builders. I'm building health and building self-esteem and building fitness. So, you know, think of a brick wall. Put one brick in at a time. Let the cement settle before you put another brick in. You know, I don't know how to build brick walls. I don't think it works like that. But, you know, you get the idea. We need to put one brick in at a time. We can't just throw the wall up in one go. So, you know, be consistent. Find a way of doing a little bit and often. Have someone you're accountable to, whether it's a coach or a friend. You know, my clients, when they do their 10 minutes of exercise or 50 minutes of exercise, I know when they're doing it. They know when they've done it. They message me or I message them, how did you get on? People, I think what people really need is support. Mm-hmm. Most people, as I said, are left to their own devices, are really going to struggle. And then they beat themselves up. Oh, I know I should know better. It's like, well, you might know better, but that doesn't always mean you do better. People need guidance and support from a friend, from a family member, or a coach. You know, I think people just are struggling, left to their own devices.
Yeah.
That's probably why a lot of the weight loss groups work so well, because they offer support.
Whether
Weight Watchers and Slimming World or not, or other ones like that, is irrelevant. They get a lot of success because of the support they offer people.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's one of the missing pieces. People... a sense of you're not doing it by yourself. And I think that's where people struggle, and whether it's mental health or physical health, people feel very much alone. Yeah. And people don't do well when they're like, well, if I do it or don't do it, does it matter to anyone? Well, I always tell my clients, it matters to me. Mm-hmm. And then people go, oh, does it really? I'm like, well, yeah.
For real?
Yeah, I mean it, because, you know, my success is their success is my success. So,
yeah.
I think that's an attitude. So does that answer your 10 years younger question? Because it is...
all in one fell swoop.
Really? Okay.
Just love yourself, basically. Love yourself a bit more and you'll be absolutely fine.
You know, I think recognize the value you were born with.
And we do, you know, people go through dark times and they do need that little help, that uplift, that support to get back on track, or even to get on track. In the first place,
I see myself as like the human push-up bra, just giving people some support. Working for you guys.
Great analogy, yeah. Man. I love it.
There we go. You see, just a little bit of uplift.
Yeah,
that's it. Yeah.
Wicked. So, Tristan, if there's people watching that want you to knock 10 years off their life, where can they find you?
Knock 10 years off their life. Maybe sound like a hitman.
Oh yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, if people want to say hi or get in touch, I'm, you know, my website is tristanlee.com. I am, you know, at Real Tristan Lee on social media. I have, you know, the Gorgeousness Coach. You know, if you type in that, there aren't any other ones. There shouldn't be, because I made it up. So that's how people can find me. Yeah, Tristan Lee, the Gorgeousness Coach. I'm hopefully quite easy to find.
Yeah,
and worth searching for.
Yeah, I will put all your links and stuff into the show notes. So if anyone does want to contact Tristan, all the information you need will be in the show notes. But yeah, tonight's been a pleasure, Tristan. It's been good to hear your side of things, to pick your brain a little bit and see what's possible when it comes to being 49 years old. I've got a lot of work to do.
How old are you?
30.
Okay, well, yeah, you're practically, you could literally be my son.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I think my mom's about, isn't it?
This is something I wanted to tell you. I am your father.
Well, those jeans are good. I'll take those jeans any day of the week.
Well, they're yours. I've given them to you, so awesome. I'm sure you'll age gorgeously on the inside as well as the outside. You're doing fine, don't you worry about
it. Awesome. Thanks, Tristan. It's been a pleasure.
To talk about today. Thank you, Tristan.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on your show.
Awesome. Take it easy.